malarkey. The devil's advocates invented
he's
malarkey.
Down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We don't often make a practice of holding a caller over. But Dick, apparently someone saw the sign. I thought I was supposed to bunt, man. I was laying down the suicide squeeze, and apparently I was supposed to swing for the fences, brother. So I'll give you another crack.
Well, here's the thing. Trump, early on in this thing, was all about seizing voting machines and doing it with just, you know,
anybody who would say yes.
Any means necessary, yes. Dick. DOJ, yes. The military, the Department of Homeland Security,
right. Okay.
Whoever
okay.
was
okay.
buying the
okay.
crap.
Let me finish. Whereas Barr, that's when he left this thing. He said you're off the rails, including a direct quote in this article in the New York Times Magazine, is that Giuliani even said, we'll all end up in prison. Why didn't, you know, I know it's 13 months out, guys, and it was rolling the dice, and it was playing Russian roulette with almost a fully loaded gun. But you know what? In retrospect, when you got Merrick Garland doing nothing, maybe he would have took himself totally out if we would have let him do what he wanted to do. And the military people would have just said, enough is enough. We're done with you. You're a clown.
Dick, I hear what you're saying, man, and I get the sentiment. I just don't know if it really would play out. And I know we're talking, you know, fiction here, but if you let something like that play out, who let it play out? There was, what, 3 hours of no action? Michael Flynn's brother was in the room on the phone call with the Pentagon, right? And the Army lied about that? Three times? Documented
right.
Three times they lied about it? I mean, where was the cavalry, man?
Okay.
I mean, they put the president in security when Black Lives Matters came down, but he had no reaction like that when his people showed up. Why do you think that is? Because he knew it was coming, and he didn't fear for his life, and someone didn't call the cavalry, man.
Just read this thing in the New York Times Magazine from last Sunday and all the timelines, and I'm telling you, they should have let him slit his own throat.
A failed coup is still a coup, Dick. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that he even went down that road and this information, unfortunately, slowly starts leaking out. And I get it, man. It's tough because we have the January 6th Commission, which doesn't have the authority, you know, to bring charges. And Merrick Garland is moving perhaps slower than any of us would like, but he's already indicated that no one is above the law, essentially, and presumably he's got things going on behind the scenes. Now, time will tell, but I think there's a whole lot of comeuppance for every one of those people involved, regardless of what division they were in, if they were in the government, if they were in the Pentagon, if they were in the police. Somebody obviously didn't call the cops. And the fact that we had these people attack, it was an attack on the Capitol, man. This is not legitimate political discourse. This was an attack on the Capitol. And other than the locals that were there, there was where was the cavalry, man? Where are the horses? Where are the tanks Trump wanted rolling down the streets as a parade to him? Where was all that? Well, he's the commander-in-chief. They were standing down.
Couple of thoughts. What did Nancy Pelosi know, and when did she know it? I can't believe we held Dick over so he could hand us a homework assignment and chastise us. And above and beyond that, a confession, Dick. Dom's not going to do the homework.
Maybe the Cliff Notes. I'll read Crudy's notes, but he had better handwriting than I did.
Maybe if the Raw story rewrites an abridged version, then I'll post it, and then Dom will see it and, you know, might skim the headline or something, Dick. Thank you for being patient. You could be like Dick. Join the show, 844-967-2789. Dom, I want to ask you, big election, at least in the city of Milwaukee last night. Milwaukee's picking a new mayor for the first time in, what, 20 years? And winners and losers, Daniel Bice, you know, over at the Journal Sentinel, he does his winners and losers columns. And he had a few winners and losers. And what are the big losers? Turnout, dude.
Yeah.
22%. I mean, they had 62,000 votes in a city of 700,000. What's up with that? I mean, it was a miserably low number of people that actually voted. And you know, my understanding is the clerks predicted 100,000 votes. And the candidates predicted 75,000 votes. And he only got 62,000 votes. And congratulations to Chevy Johnson, the acting mayor, and according to Earl this morning on his big show, the future mayor of the great city of Milwaukee. Now, Bob Donovan is the great white hope. I heard him not just on Earl's show, but also down the dial on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. Dan O'Donnell at least gave him the platform.
The conservative candidate for mayor of Milwaukee.
Well, yes.
Yes.
It's not like Dems and Republicans. They are without party. At least they don't have to declare party. But Donovan, more of the great white hope, the Republicans' great white hope. And
you know, kind
Chevy
of a white
Johnson.
Old guy, Peeping Tom kind of Republican.
Now, tell me about that. I'm not as familiar with the Peeping Tom story.
It was back in the day, and he
make
was
sure you get
of,
it right, or they'll sue
you
for defamation, like
Rudy. I have to pull
it up
and quote my sources on it. But yeah, he was accused, and I believe maybe paid a fine for some Peeping Tom action back in the day. That's all I know.
That's different than when the girls next door flash you through the windows in college.
Well, yeah, that was
it's not peeping.
Adults.
It's well, okay.
Yeah, it was consenting. Yeah, whole different story.
That was a different circumstance than Mr. Donovan apparently might have been cited for. I'm not sure.
Right. Kind of like a wide stance kind of thing.
I have a wide stance. So, anyways, the big winners and the losers. Well, where is it? 62,000 votes, though. That is unimpressive. Let's see, who are the big winners? Well, Chevy Johnson, he's got to be a big winner, right? He won the primary sort of handily. Maybe only 62,000 votes, but he turned his out. But did you notice the difference between, like, second place and fifth place? And there were approximately five viable candidates, like 7,000 votes.
Wow.
In a city of Milwaukee, less than 1% of the population was the determinant between fifth and second. And I realize there's a little bit of a gap between like 6,000 votes and 12,000 votes, but still not an unbridgeable gap. And obviously this election snuck up quickly. But according to Daniel Bice, one of the other big winners, Secret Dart, Sweet Money, Dom. And Chris Abley, the Milwaukee County executive, at least the former Milwaukee County executive. And nobody knows for sure-sies. But they suspect he's been funded the Fair Future Action, as Bice says. What a name, huh? That pumped at least $150,000 in TV ads to help out Johnson's campaign. Now, Chris Abley has not been speaking publicly about whether or not, you know, that actually happened.
Oh, sure he has, because money's free speech, so he lets his money speak for him.
Didn't Ron Johnson tell us that?
He sure did.
You know, I'm going to appear on the Up North podcast tonight with our friends Kirk Bangstead and Pat Kreitlow. And the topic today, at least the topic I was invited to join in on, the top 10, you know, boneheaded things that Ron Johnson has said through the course of his career. And, you know, they were talking about the recent, just what's happened in the last month. And I'm like, I'm going to bring some historical context because I got stories about days when Ron Johnson came on this fine radio show and said, well, money is free speech, boys, right? He bragged about it. And of course, the context of that was Ken Vogel's reporting at Politico. Ron was out at a Palm Springs Koch brother function, and a guy wanted to write him a check poolside for like a cool $1 million. He said, no, that would be above the campaign finance caps. And why would you give me the money? Give it to the Koch brothers network. They'll make sure it goes to the right place. So anyways, money is free speech.
Ron Johnson. Oh, I miss that boy. Hey, real quick here, Curdy from onmilwaukee.com. And we'll get to the phones in just a moment. 844-967-2789. You know, one of the two running for, made it through the primary, now running for mayor of the great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Here is what On Milwaukee said. Alderman Bob Donovan. Now, this is back in 2016, and Journal Sentinel Dan Bice have conflicting stories regarding an interview the reporter did for an article about an old citation for restroom peeping that Donovan received in 1992. 3 days before the primary election.
92, that's about when you had that peeping incident in college, Tom.
They're always peeping. That's okay. I don't mind. 3 days before the primary election for Milwaukee mayor. Again, this is in back in 2016, this article was written. And 2 hours before the mayoral forum between four mayoral candidates, Donovan's campaign Facebook posted claims that Bice approached him after a Milwaukee Police Association endorsement press conference and ran up to me immediately following the announcement and questioned me loudly, using language not fit for a public setting, especially one that included women. Bice called Donovan called Bice's resulting column a gossip article. He added for good measure that he believed it was a disrespectful and at times vulgar interview. Bice denies all of this, says the interview was a calm affair, and he says he has the audio to prove it. Bice added he has known Donovan for years and doesn't need to scurry up to him to get his attention. At the center of Bice's article was a ticket for disorderly conduct that Donovan received at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in 1992 when Donovan was in his 30s. In the lengthy Facebook post that sought to preempt Bice's story, which ran Tuesday and brought the summons back into public debate, Donovan, who ran at the time against Barrett in the April election, denied doing anything improper in the campus bathroom. Quote, to the incident in question, I was ticketed for disorderly conduct in 1992. As a result of the incident and ticketing, I was embarrassed and did not pursue the matter further. In hindsight, I absolutely should have. As it was, I paid the ticket immediately to avoid further embarrassment and because I simply wanted to put the matter behind me.
You know, if I've been accused of something falsely, Dom, I will fight you before I admit something I've been falsely accused of. You know this about me. You know this about most people. I mean, if it's a moral question, right? If it's a moral question, and I will verify this part. Daniel Bice approached our party buddy, Sue Happ. And Sue Happ at the time was running for Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin. And we liked Sue and her husband, and we liked to party with Sue and her husband. And we happened to be partying the same year with her and her husband that she was running for Attorney General. And I can tell you, we were at, the Pottawatomie in Milwaukee, and yeah. Later that night over a couple of cold ones, I told then County Executive Chris Abley, hey man, you want to adopt me and buy me a couple of radio stations? And Chris told me succinctly, no.
But that's amazing. What, you crack to a guy at like 2 o'clock in the morning in a casino? And he said, no, I don't know why.
I did carry forward with my plan though. And apparently
yes,
he carried forward with his. He just throws dark money at electoral campaigns. Not around here so much. Chris, love you. 844-967-2789. You could buy my love and adoration would sell so cheap, Chris. But anyways, I forget the original context of the story. Other than the fact we were partying with Sue Happ and her husband.
Well, Bice went up to ask her some questions, yeah.
Bice wanted to hit her at a party, you know. Ask some sort of journalistic-y questions. And I found that to be gauche. So I was like Johnny Davis in the last 3 minutes of the Badger game last night. And I know you were watching the Bucks, but I was watching my beloved Badgers beat Indiana on the road last night.
Nice.
And Johnny Davis, the future All-American, perhaps lottery pick, well, he just took over the game. Like every rebound, last 13 points for the Badgers. And that's how I treated Daniel Bice on behalf of my friend Sue Happ. She was like she's like the point guard. She's got the ball. And she did like a pivot move. She went around and I just did like a box out on Daniel Bice. Hey, Dan, how you been, man? Hey. And that was the one solid favor I did for my friend Sue Happ. At least she didn't have to answer Dan's probing questions that night. They're often not suitable for women.
Oh, no, mixed company. There were women around. You can't ask questions like that. According to Donovan, women are just so sensitive that they can't handle the questions of Daniel Bice, which is fairly insulting. So good luck with your election, Donovan.
Well, I wonder if perhaps Bob Donovan didn't want to have that conversation in front of a mixed crowd. He might be peeping on them next, allegedly.
He wasn't going to school there, by the way, just for the record.
Oh, that changes things. More Devils. We'll be back.
Mayor. Now, that's a good idea. I could run for mayor. creep can roll, man.
Yeah, but he's a pervert, dude. Yeah.